Item 9, presentation of year-to-date 2019 Sicera budget versus actuals. Our accounting manager, Henry, you have the floor.
On the hot seat today.
Good morning, board.
Good morning.
This is a very brief summary level budget of where we're at mid-year for the fiscal 2019 budget. We call it budget versus actuals, but the way the report is structured is kind of a fuel gauge. We have half the year presented there, and so you'll have percentages that are at the 50% mark, which is where we're trending about halfway during the year, the way it's put together. The budget is comprised of two numbers, administrative and non-administrative costs. Administrative budget dollars are the ones that are measured against the statutorial limit of 21 basis points on the actuarial accrued liability. The administrative costs include the executive, compliance, IT, retirement services, member services, and accounting departments. The non-administrative cost is investments team, legal, and the disaster recovery program. So that's how we break out the cost in the budget. November is when we took the budget to the board, and we had a figure of 14.2. It was adjusted a little bit in January because of the pending move. We bumped it up a little bit, and there was a budget adjustment there that brought it up to 14.2. So that's our budget for the year. And our cost so far is 6.7 against that, which is trending at about 52%. So that's in line with our expectations. Of that 6.7 in cost, about 75% of that is administrative, 25% is non-administrative. When you take that administrative expense, which is about $5.1 million, and you measure it against the statutorial limit of 21 basis points, we're at 11%. So we are trending very nicely about halfway through.
Not 11%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
It's 11 basis points. It's
11
point,
basis
point,
points.
Point 11%.
Point yeah. 11. Lots of zeros in front of that number.
Give me those little decimal points.
Exactly, exactly. Basis points, you got to add two on there. Good catch. Everything is trending in line, but it's a combination of cash bases, some accrual bases, some costs are still being determined. We're in the middle of our move. So at the end of the year, we'll calculate what the costs are for the move, and it's considered a depreciable asset, so it's going to amortize over a 10-year period, but those costs are still coming in, so we'll gather those in the second half of the year, and we'll put them in the actual cost. You'll see them as depreciation expenses for the depreciable costs. The ones that are not depreciable, we'll see them as supplies for some of the movers or some of the supplies, moving supplies that we have to do, things of that nature.
So, question: we just had an item on a contract approval to take old microfiche and convert it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Strikes me that that's could be eligible as a moving expense, based on the timing and the need and so on. So, first of all, how do we capture in your analysis the contract amount we just approved? That's question one. And related question is, can that be treated as a moving expense?
First question, the contract, the award of the contract, there's no expense incurred, so it's an encumbrance. That would be a different type of review that when we just sign off an agreement, we could take a note of contracts that are obligated, you know, we have a pending obligation, but they have on day one when they sign the contract, we haven't incurred any expenses.
I didn't ask the right question.
Right,
so let's assume we're cash basis accounting and we're going to pay that in Q3 or Q4. Okay,
perfect.
So it's going to happen in 20.
So we have invoices.
Yeah, it's got
invoices,
my question is how do we treat that in your true up
in our review here?
Yes.
Well, that would be considered. Off the top, that would be an office supplies and maintenance expense. So that would fall in the actual expense. That would be an administrative expense because the department that is supporting are the administrative, and it's not considered a depreciable. It could be due to the moving, but it's not a depreciable item where you can spread over time.
And it's something that we would be doing regardless of whether we're moving or not. So I don't view that as a cost that we would put in to a move line or depreciate over a number of years.
It's not in the budget. It's going to show up in the actual.
Exactly.
So
we're
going to have 100,000.
Yeah, there's going to be a variance on that line. Yep. But as you can see overall, you know, we're still well within our budget for the year.
So at the end of the year, we have a dollar amount, and I'll just throw a figure out there. That figure, as John pointed out, won't be in the budget, but we'll call it out that the reason why the expenses are a little higher in the budget.
Right. You're going to have $127K that you didn't forecast in January, right?
And it'll sit right here, and we'll call it out, and I'll bring it out. And it's more detailed because this is mid-year. Not all the picture is there, but at mid-year, we'll actually call out certain items that are there.
Or if you could also just footnote it in the report.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's part of the interactive, you know, we're making good notes here, the feedback. We'll make certain footnotes of some of the items that are there, or maybe they stand out. I mean, I'll call out one over here, actuary benefit statements. You see a budget of $75,000. There's zero actuals because we have yet to get the bill. It could be 75, could be 72, could be 78. The Siegel Group is going to send us a bill because we know they're almost wrapping that up, but their bills probably didn't arrive here by June 30th. We could have estimated some. So things of that nature.
A related question, as long as we're on that item, it's not specific to the budget, but what are your plans for reprinting things like letterhead and envelopes and things that are day-to-day usage? I assume you're not going to rent out the old stuff, the 700 boxes of letterhead that you've got or the old logo, but you're not going to reprint everything. I mean, is there a plan to reprint some of the stuff?
Well, what we've done in the past when there's been a logo change has been that we've run out what we have, but obviously now we have an address change, so, you know,
that's why my specific comment about envelopes and letterhead, it might not be as critical on some of the other items. But.
Yeah, and a lot of the letterhead that we use is actually electronic letterhead, so it's not all, you know,
Henry, is there any expense item here that the board ought to be thinking more about based upon the six-month comparison that you have any concerns about, particularly obviously being under? That is what we're now showing is under, and for the year will be substantially greater than that.
There's been some shifting. We elected to use more in-house staff for the ICON work. So inside the salaries and wages line, there's not a concern, but there's just we're using staff overtime, and we're paying for that, and we're getting very good results. Not only we're getting good service, but some of the in-house staff is familiar with some of the work involved, and so it's producing very good job knowledge. So instead of hiring outside temporary people, we're using in-house, and so it's showing up in overtime. When the budget was prepared, that wasn't taken into account. So it's not really a concern, but it's just instead of paying outside temporary services, we're paying staff.
So that number, in other words, the second half on the top line of the expense sheet could be higher for the second half, but it would be offset, you think, by contract expenses and some of the lower line.
Right. Right. You know, it could be a shift there. But as you can see in the overall picture, the percentage is right on target, which tells us that we're using it wisely and we're getting very good results. So it's not a, you know, large consequence. Let's take a look. You know, at mid-year, because it's cash basis, not all the expenses are received, not all the invoices are here, we have to take certain forecasts. It's a best estimate, and so it's good that we're trending. naturally, the budget process, and we're going to be entering it again here in the next couple of months for next year, and it's a very interactive process with all the managers about all the forecasts and all the trends for next year. So we're getting better and better in fine-tuning this, and I think it's showing up here.
Any other?
Good question, maybe for Gail more than Henry is. Since I'm new, I'm not sure what the structure is, but how often do we reassess the contracts, you know, like insurance and things like that? We go out and review to see whether or not we're paying, you know, appropriate amounts, you know, comparatively over a period of time. How often do we assess those contracts?
You know, it really depends on the contract that we have. Obviously, if it's a contract is coming up or it's something like an annual renewal type item, we take a look at, you know, what the new premium might be, what is included, because sometimes what happens is they add in, maybe it stays the same or slightly less, but then they'll add in additional levels of coverage and insurance. I just say that because you mentioned that one. We haven't, when it comes to fiduciary and liability insurance, we haven't taken a close look at what else is in the marketplace in the last few years. I can say that. I knew that there is a survey from another one of our peer systems that's going around on what's your premium, what do you get in coverage, and that kind of thing. And I'll be getting a copy of that, which will be interesting.
But there is something in place so that when a contract comes due, you consider whether or not to pull in estimates or put out an RFP or.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and it does really it does really depend on the service or product that we're taking a look at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over the last year, we did RFPs on big core service providers. We just did an RFP on the Custodian Bank, spent good time reviewing, and it resulted in a Custodian Bank change. Previous to that, we did an RFP on our actuary. Mm-hmm. We picked the same firm, but we really reviewed. I think we compared against two or three firms all at once. Before that, we did an RFP on auditors. And so those are the core service providers, and they're just being reviewed, and right. So that was good.
And over the last three or four years, there's been a number of RFPs. And it might be helpful. I can provide you with a list of that and the dates.
I just want to make sure that we're always confident that what we're paying is the best that we can get. And I'm not always price conscious. I know that, you know, sometimes you get what you pay for. So you have to take a look at what you're getting versus what you're paying. So I'm okay with that. Just want to make sure there's a regular review when it comes due.
Yeah, especially with our larger vendors, it's important to do that, to see what else is out in the marketplace and see, okay, we're paying X dollars. Okay, should we still be paying X dollars for that service out there? Because over time, technology gets better. Right. You would anticipate firms get better at what they're doing. So, it's an important thing.
Good.
Back to the salaries and wages. Mm-hmm. I realize this is just a summary. Mm-hmm. I imagine, of course, on your actual budget, document, you have a separate line item for OT or overtime and for temporary salary? Or no? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what I was curious to know is whether or not, since this is reading right at the target here, if you had any vacancies and why wouldn't they reflect in this figure?
So we do have some current vacancies. We have a member services manager that's vacant. There's a couple of other recruitments that are occurring in August. Some of the vacancies is part of the reason why we're doing better than budget in that line item.
There's some investment officer vacancies too that we're ongoing trying to fill. And at any given point, there's a couple slots that are open that we rotate. The way we try and factor that in is we try and choose a realistic date of when that person's going to onboard. Instead of put 12 months of budget on there, assuming that they're going to start on day one, we'll say maybe they'll start in the second quarter or third quarter, just to put more actual cost.
I guess where I was coming from is, you know, again, if we were at capacity, meaning all positions were full, then we'd probably be around 50% because we're spending about half of our salaries up to this point, right? Mm-hmm. We're at 50%, so I'm wondering how did we get to 50% if we got all these vacancies, unless it was made up by overtime and temporary salaries. I don't know, just trying to, again, understand how we get to 50% if we have vacancies.
Well, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's it. Go ahead.
Henry, and to just piggyback, not to step on you here, do you build in a vacancy factor when you do the budget? Like, say, okay, we think it's going to be X, but we know that there's going to be people moving in and out, so we're going to knock off a percentage and a half or something like that.
Similar to that, it goes back to that formula I was describing. If we estimate, we have a vacancy and we believe that they're going to come on board, say in the middle of the year, I only put a half a year budget to prevent this artificial savings, to make it more true that the reason. But it doesn't mean that we're fully staffed. You know, we could be at 50% and still have empty vacancies there. You know, we're just trying to prevent this artificial savings that occurs by putting a budget there if we know realistically that we're going to bring on somebody on board not at the beginning of the year. So we try and estimate. But there's some surprises. Folks leave. You know, when Mr. Collin left a while ago, we didn't anticipate that. We wished him well, but there's some savings in there.
Henry,
yes.
Maybe another way to say it is that you recognize those who aren't here at the time you're putting the budget together.
Correct.
And then attempt to identify when the replacement would come online. Correct. However, you don't have a factor in there for those who are here, some of whom will retire, leave, die, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay.
Hopefully just the first.
Yeah. There are a variety of reasons, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of the estimation process that we try and do. We, you know, try and take a hard look. You know, I don't look at people and it's like, hey, are you retiring? You
know? Yeah, it may be the first word they hear of it.
Like Todd mentioned, there isn't like a standard, oh, okay, we're going to take, oh, there's a
5%
1% contingency for current positions, or we don't apply.
You don't do
that. Okay. There's not a death factor.
And I would say I don't think that's normal.
Back to that again.
To do that. But
yeah. If we bring the actuary, that's really big.
Well, he'd give you the right answer, or she'd give you the right answer.
That's right. It's like, yeah, it might be more morbid, but it, you know.
You have to be careful about announcing to someone that you're only putting 50% of their budget in next year.
Yeah, right. Right.
They might ask why.
That's true.
I understand you're leaving.
You know, things happen.
Yeah, right.
That's true. But these are line items that roll up with combinations. So if the board wants to see something more detailed, I'll be glad to bring whatever is helpful.
I'm comfortable with the roll ups, but
one more curiosity question.
Yes, sir.
To the extent you pay any bonuses, the bonuses are frequently determined as of the end of the prior year and paid early in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
On a cash basis, of course, you're recognizing last year's bonuses in this year's first half. Do you do anything like that?
We all wish we were in the bonus structure.
I was going to say,
which staff size are talking
about?
Did I miss a memo?
Do we pay?
Just got Canvas's attention again.
There was a time when incentives were, but
right.
They're not touching any of these numbers, but if they were, we would try and do, you know, the accounting manager would try and say, okay, if these incentives are going to occur, I would try to at least put some kind of an accrual number in there so it wouldn't be a surprise in the second half of the year.
But we have no bonuses or
incentives were a better term than bonus. I immediately withdraw the bonus description and call it incentive description. But.
Yeah, we don't have incentive pay yet.
That either. Would you like to go for number three, John?
I'm stopping rolling behind.
Right. But it's good.
For example,
good.
We mentioned about insurance a little while ago. Insurance, we pay a big premium once a year. Some of the insurance is structured. But the way we handle it is we amortize it on a monthly basis. So that's one where we're not going to wait till the bill comes in. Perhaps that could be an approach we do with the actuary or the actuary benefit statements. We wait for the bill that comes in. But with insurance and depreciation, those are handled in an amortization fashion where we take 6 months worth and we charge that expense. We don't wait till the bill comes in. So we set it up on a prepaid and we amortize. And Todd's nodding his head. It's like, yes, 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 I know what you're saying.
But John, there are differentials. I don't know if you plan for those, because you don't know when an employee is going to apply for a differential. Or I guess you could look at the longevity.
Yeah, the longevity is usually factored in
when
the budget's created.
Because
we assume that they're not going to die mid-year, and that they'll, like you mentioned.
Okay,
in July, they're going to be hitting whatever, you know, some of those, or they're going to be hitting the next step, or they're going to,
Or negotiations, the impact of negotiations, we'll take that in there. Longevity. And we even take a look at things that are hard to, like overtime. You know, there seems to be, you know, a realistic pattern on where the overtime needs are. So we'll put that in there. So we want to reflect as best a picture where we are at mid-year. We're good?
Any
questions?
No. Thank you very much, Henry.
You're welcome. Thanks, Henry.